Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Hey, think about this. 10 hours a day. You do this 10 hours a day. If you're 65 plus, and remember, based on what Mary told us yesterday, 25% of the Montana population is 65 plus. And guess what you're doing for 10 hours a day? You're on average, you're spending 10 hours a day on your screen. It could be TV. It could be phone. Maybe you have your laptop out, having your coffee. But you're doing that for 10 hours a day. I got worried when I heard that statistic because I'm thinking, is that my destiny? You know, I'm that age now. I'm in this retirement thing. I'm trying to figure that out. Am I going to spend 10 hours a day on my device? Oh, no. Maybe my buddy Bob Palko, who's a football coach at Penn State in Pennsylvania, he did a cameo appearance at my retirement party, and he told the crowd, he said, look, Steve, this retirement thing is going to be really good for you because you excel at doing nothing. And everybody laughed at me, at Mike's. It was really good. Thanks, Bob, Coach Balco, for saying that. But wow, how do I use all this new time that I have? Experts tell us that planning for retirement financially is important, but even more important is, what are you going to do? What's your next look like? I would have so many people come up to me and say, all right, Steve, what's the next? And I'd say, for 60 days, I'm doing nothing. Gee, the 60 days is over now. So I got to figure something out. And guess what? We've got someone here today to help us figure out what to do in this next chapter of our life called retirement. I'm honored to have Karen Gross join us this morning on Voices of Montana. I am so excited for this conversation today. Yesterday, remember, we had Mary Craigle on. She is so smart. She gave us all kinds of data and information about the impacts, both good and bad, as we age as a state. We're the 11th oldest state out there. As people retire, though, that's good for the economy overall. Mary gave us some good resources as we kind of face the challenges of budgeting and other things. The Department of Commerce has that. But today, now that we have all that data and economic stuff out of the way, we're going to talk about this kind of in the clouds, in your head thing called figuring out your next. And I'm honored to have Karen Gross here, who is an entrepreneur, a founder, a little bit of a gadabout all over the country and the world. She travels and speaks, and she does team building. But she also wrote this book called What's Next? And we're going to talk to her about that because we got to figure out what's next. Karen, welcome to Voices of Montana.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here with you guys this morning, especially talking about next. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, toward the end of our discussion with Karen, toward the end of the show today, we're also going to talk with Rachel Dealer. Now, Rachel is the owner of the High Tide Casino and Bar, and she's reaching out and trying to be supportive of the community of Anaconda, and specifically the families who were victimized by the shooting at the Al Bar. And so in our last segment today, Karen and I will have a conversation with Rachel, and you'll want to hear what she's doing and figure out how to join in on that effort to support the community of Anaconda. And I'll explain, my heart gets tugged in that direction for a very important reason. So Karen, when I told people I was going to retire, I heard three responses from them.
What were they, Steve?
Well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. Well, I heard, I don't know if you can say this on radio or not, but I heard heck no, or people said hell no. I don't, Cody, were you allowed to? Not really. I see. So they said, heck no, you can't do that because it's not going to be healthy for you. People actually retire and then they wither away or they die. And so I got so nervous about that. I had several people tell me that I went to my doctor, my internal medicine doctor, and she said, I said, hey, by the way, we're doing this checkup, and hey, looks good, Steve. And I said, hey, by the way, actually, there's data out there that shows that people in early stage of retirement actually just have a health problem or a significant, or they die. And she laughed at me and she said, Steve, that's if they spend all their time sitting on the couch or the 10 hours on their screen. That's where you go. So I had that, and my doctor calmed me down a little bit. So maybe I'm not going to head that way. But I also heard, heck yes, 20-year vacation. Go. Where are you going to go? Where's your first trip and your second trip? Man, have fun. And then I heard, what the heck are you going to do? Steve, especially, you're wired. You can't sit around and do nothing. And I don't know. Do you hear what do you hear as you coach with people who are finding their next, maybe some in retirement, some just in a career change? Does any of that resonate? And how do you help them find their next?
Yeah, there's so many questions there and so many things to unpack. But I think people do just naturally go through that even for themselves without people asking them, right? Oh, no, I'm going to retire. I will not be of any value to society anymore. Mm. And that's so scary for people. I have a purpose every day when I get up. And what will my purpose be when I don't run to the job? That can be frightening if you haven't thought about your next and who you are going to be, right? Did you ever feel that moment of, will I have value?
This morning, I had some other things, and I'll describe a little bit later kind of the process that I've gone through, but I had some other things that I wanted to do that when I was working, 60 hours, I didn't have time. And so I thought, okay, I get to kind of lean into what I've always wanted to do. And so my process, you know this, Karen, because you were a part of it and we can talk about it. I had an organization or like a business. I had to say, okay, I got to lead the organization through succession. So I was so preoccupied with that, the process and having the board engaged in that process. You were helpful in helping us discover that. So I spent most of my time on succession for the organization. We developed this thing we called the 6x6 plan, which looked at, all right, what are we doing the last 6 months of Steve? And what are we going to do the first 6 months of the next person? And so we had all these things kind of put in place. And so I gave just a tiny margin to the Steve thinking, enough that I started to think about just answering the question, what do I want to be in retirement? When people look at Steve and go, there's Steve in retirement and he's whatever age, what do I want them to see or sense or feel? And so that's kind of the work that I did. And I don't know if that approach made sense or not.
Yeah, I think it really does. I think you have to think about who do you want to be and what do you want to contribute to the world? And then you also have to ask, what do I not want to be in retirement? And I think you've identified that in a big way today. I do not want to be the guy sitting behind the screen for 10 hours a day.
Yeah, that's shocking.
That's frightening, isn't it? Right? Yeah. I can't imagine you doing that, but I do see people who do that. They didn't have a plan. They didn't take care of their hobbies as they were getting ready for retirement. And so it's overwhelming and they just sit on the screen and watch other people live their lives. And that's not what we want to do. That's not what retirement should be. It should be full of next. And next really are the next thing I'm going to try, the next food I'm going to discover, the next place I'm going to go, the next thing I'm going to read. It doesn't have to be giant, but you should have a next every day that helps you to stay engaged and excited.
So talk to us about the book. It's called What's Next? And I sense from what you just said that there's the theme that you just shared kind of runs itself through the book. Talk about the message you're conveying in the book. But before that, why did you write it? What was the impetus? What was the, man, this is a compelling message I want to get out there. That's why you write a book, right?
Right. Yeah, it truly is why I wrote that book. So I had gone on quite a journey from being told I was too stupid to go to school or to college to figuring out that I could actually coach people. I could coach doctors and lawyers. I just had to study.
Yes, you coached me. I'm not sure how well that's stuck, but you did.
Right. I've had my days. I had to say things twice and three times. But yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, then coaching is all about you figuring out who you are, which you really have done that. It's cool to see you in this space this morning trying something new.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's exciting. So that's what the book is about. It's about my journey of I tried this and I tried this and I tried this. And one day I realized I had been doing next. I'm going to do the next hardest thing, the next hardest thing, the next hardest thing. And that helped me to become who I am today. I'm no longer afraid to speak on a stage. I'm no longer afraid to help people figure out who they are. So that idea of what's next, I wrote the book to help people. I was getting calls every day. Will you help me figure out my next? Will you help me start my business? And I thought, well, I'll save time by writing the book. And that didn't work out.
No, you probably had people go, I love the message here. Hey, Karen, can you help me?
Right. There's a lot more coaching. There's a lot more speaking gigs because of the book. But it's so exciting to see people embrace the concept. I have a Facebook group with it now. And again, next can be anything. And that's the message in the book. It can be starting a business. It can be learning how to run a marathon.
We are talking to Karen Gross, an author of the book called What's Next. You've authored other books as well.
Yeah, there are six.
Oh my God. You are so busy. All right. We're going to focus on the What Next piece. And I don't know if we have time before this next break, but I want you to start talking about, is there a model out there or a template or a pattern where our listeners or the Steves out there that are really trying to figure this out, are there like, hey, here are four steps you can take, whatever the number is,
right,
that help you get yourself on a path of figuring out where you're at and where you want to go? Could you tease that out for us? And then we'll dive into it a little bit more after a break coming up here in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I call it goo-woosh. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Can you spell that for us at least? No, it's just a...
Goo-woosh.
Is this a made-up word that
absolutely.
You came up with?
Welcome to my world.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe that. So that was like the sock dolager word that I used yesterday with Mary, which is actually a real word. I'm not sure if yours is a real word. And that sock dolager word... See, one thing I'm doing as a senior, I on my phone, I get a word of the day, and that was a word, and it describes an expert in their field. In fact, they refer to many of the Nobel Peace Prize winners as sockdologers because they're renowned in their field and recognized. Now, that word also means something like an explosion, too, in a different context, but maybe those things kind of fit together.
I think they do.
Sometimes you're an explosion, I think. It feels that way. So... Karen, before we go to the break and then afterwards, you're going to talk about that model. I tried to do what I call a values-based consideration of who I wanted to be. And I asked myself, all right, what do I value? Actually, I have an outline. I don't know if I'll have time to share that. And I said, okay, these are six things that I want to be known for that are important to me, that are values to me, that I want to... be as a person in retirement. Now, they're not that different than what they have been for years because I've developed those just by being the character and the kind of person and acting with intent, you know, all those things I wanted to be. But I wanted to take a fresh look at those and say, all right, here are the values that are going to govern who I am. And then what happens, what I did after that, I said, hey, my schedule, the things that I do should feed those six values. So one of the values, for example, is I want to be a strong husband and father, and I added and an encourager to my family. All right, so how am I doing that? Am I engaging with my son, my daughter? Am I giving them, encouraging them? Am I spending time with them? So those values that I created should govern my schedule. Is that a reasonable approach as people look at maybe not the exact everything? Here's what you're gonna do. Maybe it's less of a do thing and more of a who you want to be thing. Does that approach make sense?
It absolutely does make sense. And we'll goo-woosh and then we'll go into values.
We're talking about retirement and I want to encourage you, put your screen away for a bit. Remember when we opened the show today, 10 hours a day, we're not just you, me too, we're all spending on average in front of that screen. And so that, I don't know what's happening to our brain. We should get a neurologist in to talk to us about what's going on in the brain when we do that. But putting that aside, we've got this scientific term that Karen threw out. Karen Gross is an entrepreneur, owner of Canvas Creek Team Building. She's gone all over the world with that business, exciting, author of six books, an executive coach. She tried to coach me, and it was maybe one of her failing students. I'm not sure. But today we're talking to Karen about finding your next, and specifically finding your next chapter, this chapter in front of you as you retire and look to do that next thing. And for some, you got it figured out already. You got six grandkids and you're just going to do your life there. And that gives you a sense of purpose. But Karen has a framework or a set of steps that are going to help the rest of us figure out, hey, here's how to help have that chapter of your life be meaningful, be filled with happiness, joy, sense of purpose. And I'm just excited to learn more about what that is. Karen,
great.
Teach us.
Can please. You pronounce it yet?
No, I just put goosh down there. And that's... Feels right? like the sound when you step in something you're not supposed to. But tell us again right, what that right. is.
So I actually developed this concept helping executives who just felt so overwhelmed with everything they have to do, right? There's so many things in your job to do. There's so many things in life. And when you get ready to retire, you could live in an RV. You could travel to Hawaii like Cody wants to do. You could sit on the couch in front of your screen for 10 hours. There are so many things that you could just take on, and it's overwhelming. And so sometimes that overwhelm makes us stop and do nothing. And that's when we pick up the screen. And so you have to get out of the overwhelm. So the way you do that is you gawoosh. So not on a screen, on a piece of paper, you gawoosh every single thing that's in your head. You just make a list of, I could pray more. I could go to church more. I could RV. I could volunteer at the homeless shelter.
I could volunteer with pets. Like all the possibilities you could do.
Right. All the possible things, including, like you mentioned, the values that you want to bring into it. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. You just make that whole list, and it should be big. A lot of times I'll do this on a great big sheet of sticky paper and put it on the wall, and you just gawoosh everything that's in your head, because in your head, it's just running around making you crazy, and you put it down, and you're like, oh, that's a really good idea. So the next step, you're going to love this step. The next step is...
I get that. Now the goosh...
Oh, yeah, the goosh.
Is like the sound of all that stuff coming out of your head.
Yeah, it's like I almost imagine like a dam breaking. It's just like whoosh,
okay,
whoosh.
Get it all out on paper so you can see it. Okay.
Yes, yes. And so it's all out on paper. And sometimes that's more overwhelming, but sometimes it's a little bit comforting just to have written it down. Now it's out of your head. So the next thing is 3G steps. So it's GAC. That's the...
Karen Gross, you also need a dictionary whenever she's on the program so you can figure out what these words are. Okay, give me the 3 G's
right?
again.
So the 3 G's are GAC, give, and go. But GAC is the most fun. So you have this list, and it has all the things you could do, all the things you should do, all the things your spouse has suggested that you do.
There's a lot.
Right? There's a lot. Especially when you get the spouse involved, right? They have all the ideas, right? The honey-do list and all of that. So GAC, you go through that list and you say, I am not going to do that. I really don't want to do that. That was somebody else's goal.
Okay.
You get to say GAC. Ugh, I really don't want to do that.
Off the list.
Off the list. It's so freeing. We're not going to do that. And then the things that stay, the things that you didn't GAC and you didn't cross off and say, yeah, that's not really a goal. Then you decide if you need to give it to somebody else. Like instead of the honey-do list, do I need to hire someone to do that?
I like that. Yeah.
Right?
We're going to delegate.
We're going to delegate. You can still delegate in retirement. There's no reason you can't do that.
All right. I like that.
Right? So what are you going to delegate to your spouse? And then the final one is the power one, and that's go. I am going to go get this. I'm going to go chase this. So when you developed your framework and you said, I want to have these values, I want to be helpful, and I want to be an encourager, anything that is on the go list is probably going to help you be an encourager.
Oh,
he gets it. This is why Steve is fun to coach. Yeah.
I'll forget it in a few minutes. She'll have to repeat herself.
Or remind,
apparently,
yeah, you can listen
you have to
this.
Do that all the time.
Right?
Now it comes out.
Right? So you GAC, you give, and you go.
Okay, let's just... GAC is... I looked at my list. First, the goosh thing, and I just throw it all on paper. All right. Every possibility's out there. And then I go... don't like this one, don't like that one. That's not me. I'm not going to take those off. And then you go, that's valuable, but I think someone else could do that.
Right.
And so you delegate, that's the give. And then the go is whatever's left, those are my go things.
We're going to chase it.
Right.
That's going to be our next.
Okay. So what if you're stuck though? You have that go list and you go. You say... It's still a little bit. It's like maybe there's still a dozen things left there. And where do I start? Which one should go first?
Yeah, I think there is always prioritization. But I think when you're retired, you have earned the privilege to take a break and do what you want to do, right? And to be who you really are. So if you look back to who you were at 7 years old, what were you like at seven? Were you on screens or what were you doing, Steve?
Oh, at seven? What was I doing at seven? I was running around in the forest around our home in Aberdeen, Washington, just having an adventure.
And what if you took that same young, exuberant, I just want to go explore life. And what if you got to do that with your go list? You said, I'm just going to go explore. I'm going to go see what this feels like.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Just test these out.
Test them
out. You may take a few steps and go, ooh, nah, I didn't get out of that what I thought I was going to get out. So
exactly.
Let me set that aside and then go again.
Yeah. And when you set it aside, it becomes a gag. It's so cool.
Or you get rid of it.
You get rid of it because it wasn't the thing.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Good. Hey, in your book, you said something, and I think it relates to what you're talking about. This, all right, now got the list, just get going. You said the universe always meets you at the point of action.
Yeah.
Tell us what you meant by that.
Yeah. So it's so easy when you have all these ideas or you have this thing that's going to be the next and you can get stuck. It's scary, right? But as soon as you move, as soon as you take that step forward, the universe will send you the people. It will send you the ideas. It will send you the money. It will send you the way to have that happen. I've seen it happen over and over.
It's just taking that first kind of step.
Yeah.
Now, you also said something else in your book, and I'll share this quote with you and then we can chat about it when we come back from a break coming up. But you also said, the art that is your life won't be created until you get a different brush. Mm-hmm. Man, tease that for what do you mean a different brush?
Yeah. So sometimes we're so detailed and we're using little tiny liner brushes and we're just working on this is who I am. But if you get out a great big brush and just white it out and say, who could I be? Amazing things will happen. I'll tell you more about that when we come back.
Wow. So if you are a part of Karen's Canvas Creek team building exercise, she actually puts blank canvases in the room. And as small teams, you get to create what is sometimes a piece of art. But she takes you through this experience where people are interrupting you so that you could have six people and they're all painting on the canvas at the same time. And someone comes in and just puts a big white swath across what you've been working on. That happened to me. It was frustrating. So when we get a different brush and we hit the go button, there could be times where that gets interrupted by other people, circumstances in our life, whatever it might be. And we might have a setback. And so you got to be able to learn how to handle that. So how do you handle those? I have my plan, but there's a bit, you know, the world is bigger than Steve. And so someone comes and paints on my canvas. What's the coaching around? All right, here's how you respond.
Yeah, you get to decide in that moment, which is so powerful and so frustrating. Am I going to quit? Am I going to begin again? Or am I going to go back and do what I was doing before?
Well, Tom's not here because Tom is out fishing, which is something you would do more of when you retire. But it's great to grab that time. Tom's on a little vacation break. You're listening to Steve Arviscal. And I have in studio today, Karen Gross. And Karen and I are talking about figuring out your next in retirement. She went through some concepts with us, which we'll talk a little bit more about. And then we have some other ideas we want to share with you that are some tools and instruments that you might want to take advantage of as you think about, man, I don't want to spend 10 hours on a screen. I want to be productive and be meaningful in retirement. And toward that end, we got a call from Nancy from Roundup. Nancy, I think from yesterday, I don't think she'll mind. She's 85 and she is so active. She said, Steve, you know, at the heart of a good retirement is realizing that you can give back to your community, volunteer. She had some great suggestions around that. She said your library could use your help. She said reading to kids, either at a library program, at a school, seniors can get involved in that. She said there are so many ways to get involved and stay active. And so she as I was gleaning this information from her, I got excited and encouraged. So, Nancy, thank you for sharing that. She wanted me to make sure that the listeners understood that. Well, Karen Gross is with us, and we've got this last segment, Karen, to kind of talk about discovering our next. You gave us some good concepts. Why don't you summarize quickly those concepts you gave, just to reinforce it in our thinking?
Yeah, Steve, thank you. I think that when you are trying these things after you've gawooshed and you've gacked and you've decided this is my go, that there are going to be days where you're like, oh, that did not work out. And that's when you get to decide if you're going to quit and you're not going to pursue that. There's a lot of power in that. There also is power in saying, I'm going to begin again. I'm going to try that in a new way. And then sometimes with that brush that whited everything out, you get to go back and redo things. You might decide after a couple of years of retirement, you really do want to work, right? And so you get to go back and do it again. So I just love that idea that you have choices in retirement.
Well, and those can be kind of empowering. I mean, and they could feel and act different. And, you know, always financial considerations and family considerations and health considerations. So that gets plugged into the equation, but you should have a little bit of margin to kind of do things that are empowering for you, that support and help others. And that's what helps you find meaning. Hey, there was another quote I took from your book that I was intrigued by. And I know you have some other ideas you want to share with us, but here's the quote. Please, for the love of all that is right in the world, stop trying to lead a balanced life. Mm. So there's nothing ideal about life in retirement. It's all going to be mixed up with all kinds of things. Do we still need balance in our life? And what did you mean by that quote?
So it is one of my favorite quotes, and it's one that gets the most looks. Like, what do you mean? But we hear it all the time. I'm trying to be balanced. I'm trying to have work-life balance. I'm trying to have diet balance, all these things. And we're not balanced beings. That's not what we're designed to do. If you stand on one foot for very long, you're going to fall over. It happens, right? So what I would rather people do is honor their lives. Instead of saying, I'm trying to be balanced, you say, I'm going to honor where I am. And honor where you are means I'm sick, so I'm going to stay in bed and be sick. I'm happy. I am going to be happy. I'm really crazy busy. I'm going to be crazy busy. So just honor whatever stage you are in right now and just lean into that and say, this is who I am at this moment. And when you start honoring your life instead of trying to balance your life, it's okay to be really crazy for a minute and then go stop and smell the roses an hour later, like Tom is doing right now. Go fishing after working really hard.
Yeah, well-deserved time for him. I hope he's catching fish. I view that as, you know, I looked at my values and no, these are the things that are important to me. And what creates balance for me is being able to spend the time in the things that feed my values.
Which is honoring your values.
Yeah.
And right?
So I did read your book, but I also read another book. And so don't make me feel bad about not just...
Right?
So I read a book called An Uncommon Guide to Retirement.
Love it.
I'm not quite done. I'm almost done with
this. But you did finish mine.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I finished a couple of... Well, no, I only read one chapter of your other one. But no. So he said this. Front load your days with maker tasks over manager tasks. Mm. So if you read a little bit more in the book, what he means a maker task is what am I doing to become the person I want to be versus the manager tasks, which are all the activities and the checkoff list and the stuff I need to get done, which you need to do some of that. But if that's all you do, you're not growing. And I would advocate that just because we retire, we don't stop growing. Notwithstanding the comment by my old football buddy, Bob Palko, who said I would excel at doing nothing, I still want to grow as a person. So I want to make sure I'm spending some time in the maker mode, the who I'm becoming mode, and not just in the task mode. And I think we can get caught in that task mode. The task mode can be a distraction to working on ourselves and helping ourselves. What's your take on that?
Oh my gosh, I love it so much because I think that gives you permission to have next. I'm going to try cooking. I'm going to try running. I'm going to try whatever it is. So what I've started working with a couple of my people that I'm coaching into retirement, and we're talking about senior gap years. Remember, your kids all want to have a senior gap year and run to Europe and backpack around.
Spend mom and dad's money.
Spend mom and dad's money. Yeah. Right, right. So this one, mom and dad get to spend their money. They get to have a gap year. So the first year you retire, you just make who you are. You go out and try all those things from your gawoosh list. You try volunteering, like Nancy said. And you just try different things on. You put those shoes on, you're like, oh yeah, those didn't fit. I don't want to do that. But if you take a year to explore who you are and to make that up, then the management tasks are not going to feel, again, so onerous or so overwhelming. Just go figure out who you are.
Wow, we've got a lot of great information, Karen. Good conversation. I hope it's adding value to you. So if you had to put an exclamation point on this for our listeners today and go, all right, here are just a few things. Here's some takeaways that I think would be helpful. Be our coach. Be the coach of Voices of Montana audience out there. Give us a little final coaching.
I love it. Okay, well, so first you have to learn how to spell gawoosh.
I don't think you know how to spell that either.
Right. So first I think you have to gawoosh. And then I think the really best advice is calm down. We get so angsty about the whole thing. Just calm down. It's going to be okay. You're still going to eat. You're still going to survive. People are still going to love you. The next one is be the best you. So Cody just spelled gawoosh and he spelled it correctly. It was absolutely right. G-A-W-O-O-S-H. I'm taking this home to my board, Cody. That's good. And that's exactly what my third one is. The third one is enjoy. You worked so hard. You did all of the things. You got up, you made the coffee, you went to work, you changed the world. Just stop and enjoy retirement. It's okay.
Thanks, Karen. That's good encouragement to me, and I'm sure it's good encouragement to a lot of other folks. Thanks for spending some time. It's so good to hang out with you, and I know I didn't pass all of the coaching tests and exams and things. I was always kind of a work in progress, and that's how I view retirement. It's a work in progress. You know, never stop working on yourself. Care for the people around you. Montana needs great people in those latter stages of their life just to be a part of who our great state is. And so retirement is so awesome in Montana. It's a time to give back and enjoy. A little more time fly fishing actually would
right?
be good.
Not bad.
So thanks, Karen. Your insights, your wisdom, expertise. You're a sockologer, whatever that word was.
Sockdologer.
Yeah, sockdologer as well. Just an expert in your field. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.